This podcast contains graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Now, with that being said, welcome to the Mortal Musings podcast.
Right, let's do this.
So something's happened.
What?
We've fallen back into a pit of despair, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. We're Pokemon Go.
Yes. Yeah. We were very into we were very late to the party to start with Pokemon Go. Literally years late.
Yeah, so I started it before you. I started it because at the time the job I had was taking up a lot of my time and I was literally just sitting in a shop. Just sit in a vape shop. So I'd looked up ways to get more exercise without having to go to the gym and stuff like that. And Pokemon Go kept coming up. And I didn't understand why until I saw to hatch eggs, you had to walk so many kilometers. I still have a screenshot on my phone of a fitness app.
I've
tracked your walk.
Yeah, it's a fucking scribble.
Fucking disaster over the shop where I was working. Megan got into it. She was enjoying it. Me, on the other hand, I became friends with someone in Australia and New Zealand who lived next to shitloads of gyms. And when a new raid came out, I was doing shitloads of raids.
Yeah, I was like, Mewtwo's coming to the game now. So, he was already in the game.
Megan was I'll get one.
Yeah, I think I have three because it was Mewtwo. So I was like, oh, I'll do a few raids.
Yeah.
I'll get some, you know. But, me getting really into the game and having three Mewtwos, right? That's like the highest point for me.
Yeah.
Neil, it would be like 20 plus.
Oh, no, way more.
Okay.
Way more. Because I needed a shiny. And I wanted a max.
You don't understand how much of a dirty, sweaty, try-hard bastard Neil is. Like, he is fucking insane. Anything you can do, he can do better. He's that
type of best.
I do my best. But the thing is, this all came about because someone we work with, she used to play it and she'd recently re-downloaded it. And then as soon as Neil saw that, he was like, oh, do you know what? I should re-download it. So I was going to say by the end of the day, within the hour, Neil had downloaded the game, kicked her out of her gym.
All of them.
She came back up to us later. She had a face like fucking thunder. She was like, kick me out of my fucking gym. And that was it. By the end of the day, I downloaded it as well.
Yeah.
So we're back. We've been drawn back in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if anyone else plays it, contact us. Send us your code.
Your addy.
Yeah, you're addy. Send us your digits and we'll add you.
Give your digits.
With that out of the way, what are we doing today?
So today we are going to be talking about the women who worked for the radium companies, also known as the radium girls.
Radium, like the chemical?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, I've had this one on my list of episodes for a while, but I thought we'd bump it up the list after one of our listeners, Martin, suggested it.
Mine. What does he want?
Well, he wants the radium girls covered, Neil.
Oh, yeah, because he told me. He said to me, do you take case recommendations?
And you went, I don't know, go to Megan.
I said, that's Megan's side. I don't want to know about the cases. I weren't being rude. It was just like...
I think you were.
The whole point of the show is I'm hearing this firsthand for the first time.
Mm.
Unless it's a case I've already heard of, which...
You've forgotten half it anyway.
It's very rare I'll remember it. What did we do last week?
The murder of Kim Wall.
I forgot. Yeah. That's how quick it can happen.
In one ear and out the other.
So, radium.
Radium.
Where is this?
In America.
Okay. Shock.
Now, we have briefly talked about the effects of radium in one of our oddities. Do you remember us talking about Evan Byers? Yes.
Drinking it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Evan was a socialite and sportsman who, after an injury, began taking Radithor, I think it's pronounced, which was a mixture of radium and water. The effects of the radium caused his teeth to fall out and he had to have the majority of his jaw removed. basically his body was disintegrating.
Yeah. Which you'd expect it to with fucking radium.
Yeah.
Do you know what I think of with radium? In where Homer worked in The Simpsons.
That was plutonium.
Oh. Okay. Well, that's what I think of with radium.
So we'll start off with the discovery of radium.
Mm-hmm.
So radium was first discovered in 1898 by Marie and Pierre Curie. They were able to extract 1 milligram of radium from 10 tons of uranium oxide. And by 1910, Marie was able to isolate radium. So obviously during their research, they were around radium a fair bit.
Yeah.
They both experienced burns from radiation, both through testing and accidental. Marie would become chronically ill due to her decades of work with radium, and that would lead to her death from aplastic anemia. Her daughter Irene and her husband Frederick would continue her work and would also have their health affected by radium. The exposure would lead to her death from leukemia, and her husband Frederick, who died from liver disease, also linked to his exposure to radium. Now, I bet you're wondering about Pierre.
Hmm.
It's thought he would have died due to the effects that radium would have had on his health. But at the age of 46, Pierre was crossing a road when he slipped and fell, and a horse and cart ran over his head and crushed his skull.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, which do you choose? I mean, in that situation, it's like a slower, more agonizing death, or... I mean, that's horrific, but at least it was over quickly.
Oh, no, I'd go for that.
Many of Mary's personal possessions, clothes, cookbooks, furniture are all still contaminated. Even the paperwork, which is now displayed in the museum, is kept in a lead-lined box and is said to take another 1,500 years until they're only half as radioactive as they are now.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. And same goes for her body. Her coffin is also lined with lead.
Fucking hell. Over 1,000 years.
Yeah. And that's only to become half as radioactive. You know what I mean? So into the promotions of radium. By the early 20th century, radium was advertised as a miracle product. It was said to cure illnesses, promote health and beauty, and increase your energy. It was added to toothpaste, cosmetics, and even drinking water. Which, pour one out for Evan.
Yeah.
One advertisement for cosmetic products reads, "An astonishing new force for betterment. Applied as an aid to beauty, learn how the amazing energy of radium has proven to boon to the human skin."
Boon?
Boon, like it's good for it.
Okay.
It'll aid it. It's just crazy.
I don't think it will.
Exactly. It's so crazy that like years ago it was like, you know, we said it was a miracle product, but it was like, literally apply this to your skin. Drink it.
Yeah. It's only the same as what I've said to you. Well, it's not the same. But, you know, you with your hand creams and your face creams and stuff. And it's like, for all you know, these companies, these beauty companies, are giving you these creams saying it's anti-wrinkle, it's anti-this.
Mm.
But it could be making your fucking skin more wrinkly. So you're going back and going, I need more intense anti-wrinkle cream.
Could be.
I've always thought that.
Do you know Kim Kardashian once said she would literally eat shite if it made her look younger?
Yes.
So getting back to the story. The Radium Company was founded in 1910 in New York, followed by Radium Dial Company in 1917 in Illinois. Now, they produced glow-in-the-dark paint, which was made of zinc sulfide and radium. And unsurprisingly, it was radioactive.
Yes.
And what they did in these factories was paint the dials of watches and gauges in the glow-in-the-dark paint for soldiers in the US Army so they could see what the fuck they were doing.
Well, they do it for tunnels as well, don't they? Like train tunnels.
Who does?
So, like, if there's signs for train drivers, if there's a sign in a tunnel, they have to do it in the glow-in-the-dark paint.
Oh, yeah, but these factories were specifically painting the dials.
Yeah.
They did it as well, didn't they? Yeah, yeah, they did.
Don't you remember the episode of Only Fools and Horses?
No.
The Chinese restaurant when they paint the walls?
Oh, yeah. Yes. So, in these factories, they would hire girls and young women as their tiny little woman hands were better for the more intricate paintwork required. And to be fair, the pay wasn't the worst. Averaging at about $20 a week, roughly $488 in 2024.
A week?
Yeah. So they were in the top 5% of female earners. And it was great for these women. They had a chance at earning a decent wages for themselves. While painting, the technique that they were told to use was lip pointing.
What?
So this was when the women would put the paintbrush between their lips, and that was in order to form a fine point with the bristles. And in doing so, they would ingest small amounts of radium each time. You have to bear in mind, though, these women were told it was completely safe. There was nothing to worry about. So not only that it was safe, they were also told, if you swallow any radium, it'll make your cheeks rosy. So it's actually being promoted to them.
For sake. Hang on, why is it such a good wage if it's good for you?
Yeah. I don't know if they try to kind of tell them that it's a good wage because it's intricate work. It's, you know what I mean?
Mm.
In fact, seeing as it was completely safe as far as they knew, some of the women would take it a step further. It wasn't unusual for the women to paint their nails or their teeth with the paint.
Teeth?
Yeah, because they wanted it to glow. They wanted it to be bright. So they were like, oh, well, while I'm here.
Who wants the teeth to glow in the dark?
Well.
What, like Ross in Friends?
Yeah. So this would lead to the name Ghost Girls because of the luminous glow they started to develop. And not just from directly painting themselves, but their skin, hair and clothes, they're all covered in the dust from the radium.
And they're ingesting it.
Well, yeah, it's no good.
So I wonder if the shit in the pit... Oh, the piss!
Oh, yeah. I never even thought of that.
The piss had glow?
Yeah. Probably, yeah. Something else that the women would do. They would sometimes wear their best dresses to work in order to get that luminous glow from the radium so that they could wear that outfit out that night.
So, say if they're wearing it out,
mm-hmm.
like, were these women contagious? Like...
No.
Okay.
It would affect you.
Yeah, but you got the glow on the dress. So what if I'm taking you out on a date I touch that dress?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I imagine it would have... Imagine it could have had an effect. If you were dancing with a girl, you had your hand on their dress and then...
Whoa. I never said anything about dancing. I said I touched your dress.
Get your mind out of the gutter. No, but yeah, I get what you're saying. I didn't even think of that side of it, yeah.
And the piss. I'm on fire today.
So getting into some of the more serious effects of radium. As time went on, some of the more serious side effects were starting to become apparent. From 1921, workers were starting to complain of different ailments that they were dealing with. Their teeth were starting to ache and fall out, and abscesses were forming.
No, abscess is plural as well. You don't say abscesses.
Scissors. Their bones were becoming brittle due to the development of anemia, and necrosis was beginning to set in. And if you're not familiar, necrosis is basically when your tissue just starts dying.
Okay. I'm glad you told me because I didn't know.
Amelia Molly Maggia was one of the radium girls who experienced the devastating consequences of radiation. So her first sign was a toothache, which they're fucking brutal on their own.
Yep.
So Amelia goes to the dentist, she gets her tooth yanked out, and not long after, the tooth next to the one she had extracted needed to be removed as well. She would soon start to develop ulcers oozing blood and pus in place of the tooth. And it didn't stop there.
She was soon left with just one tooth. She was there with a pickle stabber.
This would spread all through her lower jaw and eventually to the rest of her body. I really can't begin to describe how fucking horrific the effects are.
Yeah.
Her jaw was so badly affected that her dentist was literally able to remove her jaw with just his hand.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, it's that badly deteriorating. It's literally just like, there's fuck all left of it, you know what I mean?
And I know it's on a different level, but people who had to work with asbestos, they've started to be able to claim and sue and stuff. Did these girls?
Yes.
Okay.
Amelia died on the 22nd of September 1922 of a hemorrhage. Although doctors didn't know what the cause of death was at the time and were like, fuck it, write down syphilis.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Amelia's body contained 500 times more radium than what would be considered safe.
What who considered safe?
Well, because they're able to measure it of what... We'll talk about that a little bit later, like okay. how they measured it. But they're able to measure it in what would... what scientists would consider safe exposure.
Okay.
Amelia had worked as a dial painter for 4 years and she was just 25 years old when she died. The following year, 21-year-old Helen Quinlan and 22-year-old Irene Rudolph died. So over the next couple of years, the women, as well as their doctors, were like, you know, fucking hold on. There's something shady going on.
Yeah. It's not the clap. Well,
it's not the clap. So they began to suspect that these health issues were being caused by their jobs. So they go to the health and labour department and they're like, look, you need to do something. This is clearly, you know, it's not just a fucking coincidence that all of us are having similar afflictions. But the United States Radium Corporation are telling them to get fucked. They aren't taking any responsibility for this. And all they try to do is distance themselves from it. They stick to their story that radium is completely harmless and try to say that it's the women's fault.
How?
Well, I'll tell you, Neil. Clearly, they've contracted syphilis and it's their problem.
So basically, they're all shagging the same person and getting sexual transmitted diseases.
It's just like, what the fuck? Okay, we hear of this type of fuckery in cases of sexual assault.
Yeah.
Where the victim is getting attacked and fucking ripped apart in order to just discredit them. Yeah. Can you imagine your job did this to you?
Yeah.
It's fucking insane.
I can imagine our job doing this.
Yeah, I can. Like, the thing is, we didn't know the full sus back then when it came to radium, but at this stage in history, they did know there was dangers. They weren't completely in the dark. So we know they knew the dangers.
Yeah, because they knew about, like, safe levels and...
Well, here's the other thing. The workers in the lab were given lead-lined aprons and gloves, for fuck's sake. Why were they being protected?
Yeah.
But fuck the dial painters, you know? It wasn't until 1925, when a senior chemist died of aplastic anemia, that they were like, okay, maybe it is toxic.
Yeah. Got that pretty wrong.
Yeah. By 1927, over 50 women had died from radium poisoning. Now, the radium dial company even went as far as fiddling autopsy results to avoid blame. Yep.
See, how disrespectful as well to make it a sexual transmitted disease.
Exactly.
Well, that's fucking disgusting. Like you just said, it's the same with women today. It's like, if you didn't want sex, why was you wearing a thong?
Yeah, I know. What was she doing in that club? So, yeah, it's the women's fault. And it's clearly syphilis. That's what we're supposed to be believing here.
Yeah.
So, results from medical exams of the women from the factory in Chicago were actually not even made public until 1938. And that took a lawsuit to be made public.
Yeah.
In 1925, pathologist Harrison Martland was able to develop a test that could determine that these women were being poisoned from their work with radium. And of course, the radium company tried to discredit his findings. Also, I just want to say, I'm sorry if this is a little hard to follow. I know I'm jumping from year to year. But there were so many different people affected over so many years in different factories. Yeah, it's, you know.
Do we know how many factories?
So we're focusing on the factory in New Jersey and in Chicago, Illinois.
But there was more.
Yeah. Peg Looney was another young woman who worked as a dial painter. Described as soft-spoken, Peg was just out of secondary school when she started working for the Radium Dial Company in 1923.
Fucking hell. So 18?
Yeah. By 1929, Peg's body had been ravaged by radium poisoning. Her family recalled how they witnessed her pull teeth as well as pieces of her own jaw out by hand. On the 6th of August, she left her dial painting job due to her rapidly deteriorating health. 8 days later, Peg died at the age of 24. Literally a week later, like.
Yeah.
Now, an autopsy listed her cause of death as diphtheria. If you're unfamiliar, that's an infectious disease. It affects your throat, difficulty breathing, There's also a variant that can cause skin ulcers.
But not make your jaw drop off?
No, no, not so much. But anyway, the doctor who had diagnosed her worked for Radium Dial. And unsurprisingly, at this stage, like we'd previously mentioned, the doctors that worked for these companies would hide test results from the women. They knew they were being affected before it got to the fatal stages, you know?
So the tests were as useful as a one-legged man at an ass-kicking party?
Basically, yeah. Here's the really scummy part of it. The company would actually try to hurry the family to get the funeral over and done with.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They wanted anything just swept under the rug. Do you know what I mean? Just get rid of it. Peg's family knew that it was fucking sus. And they kept thinking, what's going on? This seems just like a big, massive fucking cover-up. Like, yeah. What is happening? Years later, approximately 100 bodies were exhumed, including Peg's. They measured the amount of radium in her bones, and there's 19,500 microcuries. So basically, that's the amount of radium material that disintegrates at the rate of 37,000 atoms per second. I'm not going to get into detail because I don't fucking know. I'm just letting you.
You're not a physicist.
I'm not a scientist, Ross. But I will say that is over 1,000 times what is considered to be safe.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
Just, yeah, 1,000.
Yeah, that's bad.
One of the scientists who worked on the study actually stated it was one of the highest that he had ever seen. One good thing that came from this is the findings from these exhumations will be used to improve standards for those who now work with plutonium. It was described as being sort of a, you know, a canary in the coal mine type of situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Catherine Wolfe Donahue. So Catherine was a worker in the Illinois factory, and Catherine started to notice a decline in her health in 1925. In 1931, the Radium Dial company fired her after she had developed a limp due to the pain she was experiencing.
What?
This is what she claims. She claims that my limp was causing too much talk, which I don't doubt her for a second. I fully fucking believe her. Her weight would drop to 71 pounds, necrosis would set in, causing her teeth and jaw to disintegrate, and she had a large tumour growing on her hip. She was given just a few months to live. Now, Catherine would be one of the women who would go to trial over the injustices that these workers faced. Unfortunately, though, Catherine was not in good shape by the time the trial came around.
Yeah.
Her health was seriously failing, and she would actually go on to collapse in the courtroom.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, her testimony would have to be given while she was laid in bed. She couldn't go to court, you know?
Yeah.
Catherine died at the age of 35, and she died before all the appeal process and all that was finished. So she never got to find out the final outcome. Yeah. It's also important not to forget people like Beatrice Workman, who died of radium poisoning years and years later. Beatrice first went to the doctor about concerns over pain she was experiencing in 1936. The doctor told her it was just arthritis. You know, horrible to deal with, but you know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, you can do, you know. It wasn't until August of 1959 when she died and the real cause of her ailment was revealed. So 20 years.
Two decades.
Yeah. It's fucking insane. We've still got a bit to go through, but I think we're going to call it a day for part one. And next week, we will talk about the trial and some of the other women who were involved, the radium girls.
Come back to it next week.
How are you finding it so far with this one?
It's hard. Like, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
You know, and all I can picture is someone pulling their own jaw off. Like.
So you're kind of getting the more nightmare fuel thing going through your head. It's so insane.
Like, the face is just falling apart, like.
Well, you know, with Peg Looney, like, her family are saying, we watched her literally pull her teeth and pieces of bone out of her face.
Yeah.
That is insane.
So we'll move on to something a bit more lighthearted, hopefully. What is it, oddity-wise?
Oh. I have a nice one for you. Okay. I can do you a nice one, sort of.
Okay.
Sort of. Masha.
Wait, you were just saying you got it's more lighthearted.
Yeah, Masha.
What?
So back in 2015... Back in 2015, a baby boy had been left abandoned in a cardboard box outside in winter. And not just winter, winter in Russia.
This is lighthearted.
It gets better, don't worry.
Megan thinks abandoning children in the fucking winter in a cardboard box is lighthearted.
Well, it would have been a certain death had it not been for Masha. Masha climbed into the box, wrapped herself around the baby to keep him warm. Did I already tell you what this story was?
No. What's a Masha?
I thought
it was a person.
Let me read it again.
Well, at first I thought it was some sort of like religion, and then I don't.
Masha climbed into the box, wrapped herself around the baby to keep him warm.
What's a Masha?
Masha cat.
What?
Masha was a cat. I really wanted to read that line just so you're like, what do you mean, wrap themselves around the baby? Did you get that it was a cat?
No. I didn't know what it was.
I thought it'd be funny if you just had this image of a person doing this.
But the thing is, like, it's all well and good saying the cat was protecting and keeping the baby warm.
Yeah.
But if a cat tries doing that to a baby in a crib, mm-hmm. people are like,
get that fucker away from the baby.
Trying to suffocate it.
Yeah.
So how do you know we weren't trying to snuff the baby out?
Well, see, I'm a bit wary about cats around newborns and shit. I'm very, you know, they're shifty fuckers, you know?
But you're going to start telling me that this fucking baby started acting like a cat.
No, it's nothing like that.
Oh.
So, like I said, Masha climbed into the box, wrapped herself around the baby to keep him warm, and she just sat there meowing her fucking head off to draw attention. Because I do get a bit wary about cats around babies, but this was clearly the nicer side of it.
Well, you're wary about yourself being around cats.
Yes,
our
I am.
Cat.
Yes, he ripped the fucking arm off me yesterday. So the person who found them initially ran out because when she heard her meows, they were so loud, she thought the cat had been injured or was in some sort of pain.
Yeah.
So they call an ambulance, the baby was taken to hospital, receives a checkup, and he was said to be in good health. So don't worry about the baby. It is a horrible story that this child had been abandoned, but the baby, health-wise, was okay, hopefully getting health.
Mm-hmm.
Masha was said to have tried to follow the ambulance as well. Like, this was like her baby now. Like, yeah. this is my person. Piss off. But yeah, that's the case of Masha Cat, who saved an abandoned baby. And Masha has since been hailed a hero and has been spoilt with plenty of affection and treats.
Like that's the cat Aldi?
Aldi Cat, yeah. Did we ever bring this up? Did we bring up Aldi Cat?
I think we did. Well, if we didn't, if you go to our local Aldi, there's this big, fluffy black cat. What's always there?
Beautiful.
And people will go in to do their weekly shopping, but they'll buy cat treats.
Yeah.
Just to give to that cat. Like, I don't know how it isn't fat.
It's very fluffy. It's probably hiding the belly.
It should be morbidly obese by now.
Teeth are probably rotted out of its head. Was that a nice enough oddity? I know it's sad the baby's been abandoned.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's the nice thing of the cat protected and got attention to ultimately save the child.
Yeah, just, I wish you'd have explained what it was sooner, because my first thought was, why is someone climbing
why
into the box?
Why is this creepy bastard?
Yeah. why is someone climbing into the box?
I didn't know how to tell this one. I didn't know straight away to be like, oh, this cat saves a baby, or to do what I did and like, for you to be like, what the fuck's Masha? Who's this? Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you for that.
Mm. Thank you so much for listening. Find us on Patreon, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. If you have a case suggestion, or maybe even your own story, email us at mortalmusingspodcast@gmail.com.